بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللسامعين. يقول الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد باب لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله وقول الله تعالى لا تكن فيه أبدا لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. عن ثابت بن ضحاك رضي الله عنه قال نظر رجل أن ينحر إبلا ببوانة فسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال هل كان فيها وثن من أوثان الجاهلية يعبد؟ قالوا لا. قال فهل كان فيها عيد من أعيادهم؟ قالوا لا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوفي بنظرك فإنه لا وفاء للنظر في معصية الله ولا فيما لا يملك ابن آدم. رواه أبو داود وإسناده على شرطهما.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله أرسله رحمة للعالمين بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وتركنا على محجة بيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك بين الحلال والحرام بين أنه لا يصح أن يعبد أحد سوى الله جل وعلا لأن هذا هو معنى لا إله إلا الله. يقول رحمة الله على المؤلف شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب باب لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله. مقصود فيه لا يذبح لله قربان يتقرب به إلى الله في مكان يذبح فيه للأصنام أو للقبور لأن العمل المكان الذي يعبد فيه غير الله لا يصح أن يتقرب الشخص بذبح يذبحه في ذلك المكان. صيانة للتوحيد عن التلوث وإبعادا لعباد الله عن مقاربة الشرك فلا يحل لإنسان يحب أن يتقرب إلى الله بعمل أن يتقرب بذلك العمل في المكان الذي يعبد فيه غير الله. استدل المؤلف لهذا الباب بقول الله جل وعلا في المسجد الذي طلب أهله وهو مسجد الضرار أن يصلي النبي فيه ليس رغبة في الصلاة فيه وإنما ليكيد للإسلام فأنزل الله جل وعلا لا تقم فيه أبدا. هذا المكان الذي طلب منك أن تصلي فيه يزعمون أنهم للتبرك بصلاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فضحهم الله جل وعلا وبين سوء قصدهم وأنزل على نبيه نهيه جل وعلا أن يقوم في ذلك المسجد ثم أمر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بهدم ذلك المسجد وهو يسمى مسجد الضرار في المدينة. أراد الساعي ببنائه أن يجعله إرصادا لمن حارب الله يعني محلا يترصد فيه محاربون لله جل وعلا ثم أرشده الله جل وعلا إلى غير ذلك إلى المسجد الذي أسس من أول ما أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. هذا هو الذي يستحق أنك تسرهم وتستجيب لهم وتصلي في مسجدهم الذي رغبوا فيه. ثم استدل بالأثر عن المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ثابت بن الضحاك رضي الله عنه قال: أما نذر رجل، يعني نذر في الجاهلية قبل الإسلام، أن ينحر إبلا ببوانة، الموضع يقال له بوانة في الجزيرة، في جزيرة العرب، ولم ينفذ النذر ما نفذ نذره قبل أن يسلم. أسلم وكان نذر أن يذبح إبلا في ذلك الموقع لوجه الله، فلما أسلم ما كان للصحابة أن يتصرفوا في شيء في مثل هذه الأمور إلا وأن يستأذنوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فجاء ذلك الرجل إلى النبي وأخبر رسول الله أنه نذر أن يذبح إبلا في ذلك الموقف لوجه الله، فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: هل كان في ذلك المكان وثن من أوثان الجاهلية يعبد؟ قال الرجل: لا. قال: هل كان فيها عيد من أعيادهم؟ يظهرون فرحهم وسرورهم، وكان العرب في الجاهلية في أعياد شجاعاتهم وانتصاراتهم في حروبهم مع أعدائهم، فيتذكرون ذلك في ذلك الموقع ما يرونه من شرفهم. فقال الرجل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا، ليس فيها شيء، ليس في ذلك المكان عيد من أعياد الجاهلية. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: أوفي بنذرك. ثم بين له بأنه لا يحل للإنسان وإن نذر أن يفي بنذر فيه معصية، لا وفاء لنذر في معصية الله، لأنه لو كان في ذلك الموقع وثن من أوثان الجاهلية، والجاهلية لهم أوثان في جزيرة العرب في أمكنة كثيرة، منها شيء ذكره الله لنا جل وعلا في القرآن الكريم كما في قصة نوح عليه السلام في سورة نوح، ومما قصه الذي أيضا ذي الخلصة وهبل الجاهلية وغير ذلك. ثم قال إنه لا نذر لي، لا وفاء لنذر في معصية الله ولا فيما لا يملك ابن آدم. يعني لو قال واحد: نذرت أن أتصدق بنصف مال فلان صدق، هذا نذر لا يلتفت إليه. أو قال: نذرت أن أجعل أبني مسجد في أرض فلان لله وجل وعلا، نذر هذا لا يعتد به، لكن هل عليه شيء في هذا النذر؟ هل عليه كفارة يمين؟ الصحيح أنه ليس عليه، قيل أنه عليه كفارة يمين، لكن الصحيح أنه لا يلزمه شيء من ذلك. النبي أمر صلى الله عليه وسلم الرجل أن يقوم بالوفاء بالنذر. ومن هذا أيضا أن الإنسان لا يندر أن يذهب إلى مكان من أماكن أيام الجاهلية ينذر أن يذهب أن يصلي فيه، فإن الأماكن التي يمكن للإنسان أن ينذر أن يصلي فيها هي المساجد الثلاثة. وإذا نذر أن يصلي في مكان آخر لا يلزمه إذا أراد أن يصلي في أحد المساجد الثلاثة. ثم ذكر المؤلف رحمة الله عليه مسائل في هذا الباب.
The Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, which is the chapter that will be discussed, and that's the chapter of not sacrificing for Allah Azza wa Jal in the place where someone has sacrificed to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Shaykh began by sending salams upon the beloved Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who has clarified to us the correct path, and the one who has guided us to the correct path, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he has clarified for us the halal from the haram. And from that which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has clarified is that none is worshipped other than Allah. And this is the meaning of at-tawheed. Then the Shaykh went on, Habibullah Ta'ala, to explain this chapter after sending, asking the mercy of Allah Ta'ala to be upon the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he mentioned the chapter, which is, like we said, that no one should sacrifice for Allah Azza wa Jal in a place that others sacrifice to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Shaykh mentioned that this means that no one, like it said, no one should sacrifice, no one should slaughter to Allah or for Allah Azza wa Jal in a place that others slaughter for other than Allah. And this sort of place is a place of idol worship. And likewise is a place that people, for example, they slaughter for the people who are in the grave, they slaughter for the dead. And Shaykh mentioned Hafiz Allah Ta'ala because when we worship Allah Azza wa Jal, that we should worship in Allah, we should worship Allah Azza wa Jal in a place which is clear from shirk. We should worship Allah Azza wa Jal in a place which is clear from shirk. And this is to protect Tawheed. This is to protect Tawheed, and so that an individual does not pollute the affair of Tawheed. So likewise, a person should not seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal in a place where other than Allah is worshipped. And the author, Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, Rahim Allah Ta'ala, he used for proof the statement of Allah Ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, and this was referring to the Masjid Darar, where individuals had built a masjid, and they requested for the, and this was during the time of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, individuals, they built a masjid, and they requested from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to pray in that masjid. And they were claiming that they were seeking the blessings from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the blessing of the Prophet praying in that masjid. But the reality was that they were plotting against Islam. They were plotting against Islam, and Allah Azza wa Jal exposed their plot. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala revealed to His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you are not to pray in that masjid. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah ordered His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to demolish the masjid. Because the individuals who had built the masjid, they were individuals who were plotting against the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they were trying to make a hub for those who were plotting against the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then, Allah Azza wa Jal ordered His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not to pray in that masjid, because the intent behind the masjid was evil. And then Allah Ta'ala ordered His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to pray in another place, the masjid which was established upon taqwa, the masjid which was established upon piety. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned in this masjid, which is another masjid, in this masjid is a masjid which prays in it individuals who are pure, individuals who are purified. So Allah Ta'ala directed His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to pray in a different masjid. And Allah Ta'ala informed that the other masjid, which is Masjid Quba, Allah Ta'ala informed that the other masjid is the masjid you should approach and you should pray in. And then the author, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he went on to also mention another proof, which is the athar on Thabit ibn Dhahhaq radiallahu ta'ala an. And he informed, or in this narration, it is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that there's an individual in Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance, an individual before he entered into Islam, he had taken a vow that he would slaughter a camel in a particular place. That he would slaughter a camel in a particular place. He did this before he became a Muslim. Now, after he became a Muslim, he still has this vow. He still wants to know, should he complete or should he fulfill his vow? And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they would not respond to him until they approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they inquired about this individual and his question. So they approached the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they informed that this individual had taken a vow that he would slaughter in a particular place before Islam, should he do so. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he questioned the individual, was there an idol which was slaughtered in this place, or was there an idol which was worshipped in this place? And did they celebrate any of their celebrations in this particular place? And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, an explanation that the Arab in the days of Jahiriyyah, they used to have celebrations. And they used to celebrate, their courage and their fighting and their defeat of their enemies. And they used to remember, they used to celebrate and remember how they used to defeat their enemies. So they used to celebrate this to remember this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, was there an idol which was worshipped in this place? Or did they used to celebrate any of their celebrations in this place? When they responded to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that none of this took place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he should fulfill his vow. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to give information by saying that there is no vow in disobedience. That there is no vow in disobedience. So if a person vowed to slaughter to Allah Azza wa Jal in a place that an idol was worshipped, then it would not be permissible for a person to do so. It would not be permissible for a person to slaughter in that particular place. And the Shaykh mentioned, Hafizullah Ta'ala, that there used to be many idols. There used to be many idols in the days of Jahiliyyah. From amongst those idols were those that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, such as in Surah Nuh. In Surah Nuh, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned some of the idols that the Arab used to worship before Islam. And likewise, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned some of those idols. Then in that same narration, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on to say to them, to clarify to them, that there is also a vow, afwan, that a vow should also not be fulfilled for that which the individual does not possess. For example, if a person says, if such and such happens, I will vow to give charity from someone else's wealth. The Shaykh said, the person that, if you do not own that wealth, you cannot make a vow to give charity from someone else's wealth. And likewise, if a person says, I vow to build a masjid on someone else's land. Likewise, it's not permissible to say this. Why? Because you do not own that land. And then the Shaykh mentioned a mas'ala, an affair, and that is, if a person does make a vow with that which they do not possess, is there an expiation upon them? Because it's not permissible for them to fulfill the vow. So is there an expiation upon him? He said the most correct opinion is there is nothing upon that individual. They should not fulfill the vow, and there is no expiation upon that individual. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, toward the end of the narration, he ordered the individual to fulfill his vow. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, that a person should not vow to go to a particular place of the days of Jahiliyyah and slaughter and the likes. And likewise, a person should not vow to pray in a particular place. And the Shaykh mentioned that a person should not make a vow. If a person does make a vow to travel to a particular place to pray, it should only be in the Masajid al-Thalatha, which is in Mecca, in Medina, and in Palestine, Bayt al-Maqdis. And the Shaykh mentioned, other than those places, a person should not travel for the purpose of prayer.
إن فيه أشار المؤلف رحمة الله عليه شيخ الإسلام إذا نقاط 11 نقطة سماها مسائل رحمة الله عليه. قال فيه مسائل، أي هذا الباب فيه مسائل، أي فيه هذه النقاط 11. الأولى تفسير قوله تعالى لا تقم فيه أبدا. المقصود به لا تقم فيه أبدا أي لا تصلي في هذا المسجد أبدا، لأنه مسجد لم يؤسس على التقوى وإنما أسس على المنكر، فنهاه الله جل وعلا أن يصلي فيه. الثانية، المسألة الثانية والنقطة الثانية، أن المعصية قد تؤثر في الأرض، يكون الإنسان يتضرر إذا نزلها يتقرب إلى الله فيها، وهي كانت معبدا من معابد الكفار. لأن المعصية تؤثر في الأرض، كما أن الطاعة والتقرب إلى الله جل وعلا فيها إذا كان تؤثر فيها. الطاعة يقول غشيان شياطين الجن والعفاريت البلاء إلى الموضع الذي يكثر فيه ذكر الله، والمحل الذي يستعلن فيه بالشرك يكون متأثرا في هذا الموقع. النقطة الثالثة، رد المسألة المشكلة إلى المسألة البينة حتى يزول الإشكال. النبي سأل لما رأى هذا الرجل يريد أن ينحر هذه الإبل بذلك الموقع، المشكل في هذا الموضع لا يدرى هل في ذلك محذور أو لا محذور فيه. فالنبي سأله هل فيه وثن من أوثان؟ قال هل فيه عيد من الأعياد إظهار فرحهم في جاهليتهم المنكرة؟ قال لا. فالسؤال فحمل الشيء المشكل على الشيء البين حتى يتبين جوازه من عدمه. النقطة الرابعة، استفصال المفتي، يعني الشخص إذا سئل عن أمر وهو لا يعرف حقيقة هذا ذلك يسأل السائل ماذا تقصد أو لماذا خصصت ذلك الموقع. لو قال شخص أريد أن أذبح أنحر إبلا في عند بلدة كذا، لماذا؟ إذا قال والله أنا عرفت أن هؤلاء فقراء وأنهم محتاجون يأذن له. إذا قال هؤلاء عندهم سحرة وعندهم عندهم أريد أن أكرم هؤلاء السحرة، يكون هذا محرم. فالشخص المسؤول عن حكم مسألة من المسائل عليه أن يتأكد من هدف السائل يوم هم أن يعمل ذلك العمل. النقطة الخامسة أو المسألة الخامسة، ولما تخصيص البقعة بالنذر لا بأس به إذا صارت تلك البقعة ليس فيها شيء يمنع من ذلك. ولهذا النبي سأله بعدما تريد أن تنحر هذه الإبل صدقة لوجه الله في ذلك الموقع، ما الحامل لك؟ هل فيها وثن؟ لو قال فيها وثن قال لا يجوز. هل فيها محل عيد من أعياد الجاهلية؟ قال لا. فبين له أنه لا حرج، ثم بين أنه لا وفاء لنذر محرم. لو نذر على نفسه أن يشرب الخمر ما جاز له أن يفي بهذا النذر. لو نذر نفسه أن يخرب بيت فلان هذا معصية لا يجوز له. قال السادس، المنع منه إذا كان فيه وثن من أوثان الجنين ولو بعد الزوال. يعني لما جاء الإسلام بطلت الأوثان، لكن مع ذلك لا يجوز أن يخص ذلك الموقع الذي كان فيه صنم. فمثلا لو أراد واحد أن ينحر في اللات، ذكر الله جل وعلا عنها في القرآن الكريم، لات العزة والثالثة الأخرى إلى آخره. لقد بعض اللات وهي لات بين مكة والمدينة، لقد نذرت أني أنحر إذني في اللات، لا هذه ما يجوز، فيها وثن من وثن الجاهلية. يقول ولو كان الوثن راح، ولو كانت الأعياد منعت، أعياد الجاهلية ما صار لها سوق رابحة، يمكن يدخل فيها أشياء أخرى لا تكون أعيادا وإنما تكون مجالات ربح، مجالات الربح أسواق تجارة. يقول الثامنة أنه لا يجوز الوفاء بما نذر في تلك البقعة، يعني ما دامت أنها بلد وثن أو بلد عيد لا يجوز الوفاء بالنذر فيها، لأنه نذر في معصية. التاسع الحذر من مشابهة المشركين في أعيادهم، يعني لا يجوز للمسلم أن يشابه المشركين في أعيادهم، ولا يجوز للمسلم أن يشارك الكفار في عصرنا هذا في أعيادهم، يعني لا يجوز للمسلم أن يهني النصارى في عيدهم ولا أن يهني اليهود في عيدهم ولا أن يهني المشركين الوثنيين الموجودين في كثير من بلاد الله في عيدهم، لا يجوز للمسلم ذلك. يقول العاشرة لا نذر في معصية الله، يعني مهما نذر الإنسان في المعاصي لا يجوز له أن يؤدي ذلك النذر. كذلك لا نذر لابن مسألة الحادي عشرة لا نذر لابن آدم فيما لا يملك، لو قال نذرت أن أجعل بيت فلان صدقة للفقراء والمساكين لا يقبل منه ولا يترتب عليه في الحقيقة شيء من الأرض.
أحسن الله إليك. Then the Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى went on to explain the issues or the important points or the factors that Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala focused on at the end of this chapter. And the first of them being the explanation of the verse in Surah Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not stand, meaning do not pray in this masjid. And like I said, the Sheikh mentioned previously that this was a forbiddance for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray in this masjid that was not built upon taqwa, but in fact it was built upon evil and transgression. And therefore Allah azza wa jalla forbid his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from praying in this masjid. And the second affair, or the second factor that Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, is that sin has an effect on the land, and likewise obedience. And the Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala explained that yes, sin affects the land, and therefore if a person goes to this particular land to sacrifice to Allah Azza wa Jal, and this place was used to slaughter to other than Allah, then this is something forbidden. And so sin affects the land, and just likewise, obedience affects the land. The Sheikh mentioned that's why you have, if a place was, if they're in a particular place, if Allah Azza wa Jalla was worshipped, if Allah Azza wa Jalla was worshipped in a particular place, the shayateen and the jinn, they run away from this place. They desert this place where obedience to Allah was performed. And the opposite, if shirk and sin and transgression was performed in this place, then they are present in this place. And the third affair is that if something is unclear and vague, if an issue is unclear and vague, it should be returned to an issue which is clear. It should be returned to an issue which is clear. And that's why in this narration, the Prophet ﷺ, when he was informed that there was a man who had made a vow to sacrifice, the Prophet ﷺ sought further clarification. Was there an idol worship in this particular place? Did they used to celebrate their celebrations in this particular place? So here we find the Prophet ﷺ seeking clarity in this matter. And the fourth affair, once again, the person who is asked a question, he can seek clarity from the individual who is asking him. Why are you performing this particular form of worship? Why did you choose this particular place to slaughter? Why is it specific? Why do you want this particular place? If, for example, the man would have responded, and the Shaykh gave an example, if a person says, I want to slaughter in a particular place, in a particular country, maybe the person who is being questioned would say, why did you choose this particular place in this particular country? If the person says, why? Because there are many poor people in this place, then go ahead. Yes, slaughter. But if the person says, for example, because they have a magician in this particular place and I want to respect him, I want to do something to respect him, then obviously it's not permissible for him to slaughter. So this, in general, this shows you that it's permissible and it's legislated for the person who is being asked a question that he seeks more clarity from the questioner. The fifth affair it is permissible for a person to specify a particular place to slaughter as long as there's nothing that prevents him, as long as there's nothing which is not permissible. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, and that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, you know, was there an idol worship in this place? Did they used to celebrate their celebrations? Once all of this was cleared, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, then fulfill your vow. For example, if a person says, I want to, drink khamr and the likes of that, I want to drink alcohol, obviously it's not permissible for him to fulfill his vow. The sixth affair, it is not permissible for a person to do so, to worship or to slaughter to other than Allah in a place which other than Allah was worshipped, even if this took place in Jahiliyyah, meaning even if there was a particular area that an idol was worshipped, even if this idol is no longer present, it is not permissible for a person to perform an act of worship such as slaughtering and the likes in this particular area. And the Shaykh mentioned Islam, proof for that. Islam came and the idols were wiped away. Islam came and the idols were wiped away. But even with that being the case, the Prophet ﷺ forbid the people to slaughter in those particular places. Then the Shaykh mentioned, for example, if a person says, I want to slaughter in the area where Al-Lat, one of the idols in the days of Jahiliyyah, was Al-Lat. And this was between Mecca and Medina. If a person says, I want to go to that particular place and slaughter for Allah, the Shaykh said, it is not permissible. Why? Because there was an idol that was worshipped for other than Allah in that particular place.
بين مكة هذه منات هي اللي حقيقة منات مكة هي التي بين مكة والمدينة.
نعم, the one that which is the idol which is between Mecca and Medina during the days of Jahiliyyah was منات, and that was Taif. No, and that was in Taif. نعم, and those idols have been demolished, but it is not permissible for a person to go to those particular places and slaughter, even if they're slaughtering for Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, their celebrations. It's not permissible for a Muslim to intend to go to a place of the celebrations of the kuffar and to slaughter in those particular places, even if they're no longer used for the idols. But that which is permissible is, for example, souks, marketplaces, and the likes can be built there, but not slaughtering for Allah Azza wa Jal. And he mentioned the eighth point, which the Shaykh annahu, that it's not permissible for a person to fulfill an oath in these particular places, and it's likewise not permissible for a person to make a vow for that which is sin. And the Shaykh mentioned that is clear. And the ninth issue, that the warning from imitating the mushrikeen, the warning from imitating the mushrikeen in their celebrations, even if the person doesn't intend it, even if the person doesn't intend it. And the Shaykh expounded on that by mentioning that it's not permissible for us to imitate them in their celebrations, and it is not, and it is likewise not permissible for us to greet them. It's not permissible for us to give them, congratulate them, the Christians and the Jews, when their celebrations or their special occasions come around. It is not permissible for us to congratulate them and to greet them with regards to their celebrations. The tenth, which there is no vow in disobedience for Allah, and the Shaykh mentioned no matter what the vow is, as long as it is disobedience, it is not permissible for you to fulfill that vow. And the 11th point, there is no vow to be fulfilled with that which the individual does not possess. So a person can't say, for example, I vow to give the charity of this another individual's house or another individual's wealth. It is not permissible because you do not own that which you are vowing to give and to give in charity. The Shaykh instructed to read the next chapter. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى باب من الشرك النذر لغير الله وقول الله تعالى يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا وقوله وما أنفقتم من نفقة أو نذرتم من نذر فإن الله يعلم. وفي الصحيح عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من نذر أن يطيع الله فليطيعه ومن نذر أن يعصي الله فلا يعصي. فيه مسائل: الأولى وجوب الوفاء بالنذر، الثانية إذا ثبت قونه عبادة لله فصرفه إلى غير الله شرك، الثالثة أن النذر المعصية لا يجوز الوفاء به.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذا الباب الذي هو 11 قال رحمة الله عليه باب من الشرك النذر لغير الله. هنا الآيات اللي مرت يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا، العبادة التي يتعبد الناس بها لله جل وعلا لا يجوز أن يتعبد بها لغيره. فالله لما مدح الذين يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا يوم القيامة، لا يحل لأحد أن ينذر لغيره، لأنه ما دام أن الله مدح الموفين بالنذر له فلا يصح أن ينذر لغير الله جل وعلا. وقوله ما أنفقتم من نفقة أو نذرتم من نذر فإن الله يعلمه، أي ما تصدقتم بصدقة تبتغون بها وجه الله، سواء كانت الصدقة على الفقراء والمساكين أو أنفقها الواحد على أهل بيته يغنيهم عن حاجة للناس وينفعهم بذلك، لأن الإنسان كل ما بذله من خير ولو كان واجبا عليه أن يفعله إذا بذله يبتغي بذلك وجه الله يؤجر عليه. النبي قال وما تنفقه على زوجتك لك في أجر أو نذرت من نذر. هذا الدليل على أن النذر إذا نذر لله فهو طاعة، فلا يحل أن ينذر لغير الله. ثم حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها من نذر أن يطيع الله هو في الحقيقة فيه معنى حديث ثابت بن الضحاك، لكن هذا مخرج في الصحيح. وذاك ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله عليه أنه على شرط الشيخين، على شرط البخاري ومسلم، فحديث عائشة من نذر أن يطيع الله فليطيعه. ومفهومه أن من نذر أن يعصي الله لا يحل له أن يعصي الله، ومن نذر أن يعصي الله فلا يعصى. يعني هذا نذر باطل والأول نذر صغير. ثم ذكر في النقطة الأولى المسألة الأولى وجوب الوفاء بالنذر، والثانية الوجوب إذا كان عبادة لله فهو يجب، وإذا صرف إلى غير الله صار شركا لا يحل للإنسان أن يفعل. ومسألة الثالثة أن النذر معصية لا يجوز الوفاء به، هو يأثم إذا نذر أن يعصي الله، وإذا نذر أيضا لا يجوز له أن يفي بهذا النذر، لكن عليه أن يستغفر ويتوب إلى الله من ذلك النذر توبة.
The next chapter that the Shaykh explained Habib Allah Ta'ala was the chapter of from shirk is for a person to make a vow to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the statement of Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Insan, they fulfill their vows and they fear a day which its evil is continuous. And the statement of Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, and that which you have spent and the vows which you have fulfilled, verily Allah is all aware. And in Sahih Bukhari and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the statement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever vows to obey Allah, they should obey Allah. And whoever vows to disobey Allah, they should not disobey Allah. And the Shaykh Habib Allah ta'ala mentioned that the verses that have been mentioned about the worship of Allah ta'ala inform that it is not permissible to worship other than Allah, that which is clear. But we find in this verse, yufuna bin nadri, that Allah ta'ala is praising those who fulfill the vows. Allah ta'ala is praising those who fulfill the vows. Which means a vow is worship, a vow is considered from worship, and it is not permissible for a person to make a vow to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. As long as Allah Azza wa Jal has praised those who fulfill the vows and the oaths, then that means it is not permissible for a person to do so to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the second verse, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, about the sadaqah, the Shaykh mentioned, if a person, for example, if they give charity for the poor and the needy, or if they give charity to their family so that they can assist them and not seeking from others, the Shaykh mentioned that everything that an individual spends from his wealth, he can be rewarded for, even if it's obligatory for him to do so. Once again, everything that a person spends from his wealth, in good of course, he can receive a reward for it, even if it's obligatory for him to do so, as long as he does so for the face of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And because of that, we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And that which you spend on your wife is charity." And that which you spend on your wife is charity. So a person gets rewarded even for the actions which are obligatory upon him. And then he mentioned the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, which is mentioned, whoever makes a vow to obey Allah, they should obey him, and whoever does so to disobey Allah, they should not disobey him. The meaning of this hadith is the same as the hadith which is in the previous chapter, the hadith of Thabit bin Dahhak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but this hadith of Aisha is in Sahih Bukhari. This hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is in Sahih Bukhari, whereas the hadith of Thabit was not. And the author, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the hadith of Thabit, it's on the conditions of Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, but it is not in Bukhari and Muslim, whereas the hadith of Aisha, it is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the meaning of the hadith, we have the wording of the hadith of Aisha, which is that whoever makes a vow to obey Allah, they should obey Allah. And whoever makes a vow to disobey Allah, they should not disobey him. The meaning is that whoever vows to perform a sin, it is not permissible for them to do so. This vow is void and invalid. His vow is void and it's invalid. And the Shaykh mentioned that so we understand, so if a person makes a vow to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is a sin. But if a person makes a vow for other than Allah, if a person makes a vow for someone other than Allah, or for something other than Allah, then this is worship to other than Allah, and it is considered from shirk.
نقف على الباب الثاني عشر.
ندخل.
لا نقف عليه.
نقف. لا.
بس.
بس. طيب, we will go to the questions now. يقول السائل حفظك الله تعالى كيف نتصرف في الحرم المكي إذا رأينا بعض أناس يتصورون الفيديوهات والصور يأخذون الصور في الحرم المكي؟
هذه مهمة الجهة المسؤولة عن المسجد الحرام, هم اللي ثم أيضا التصوير المحرم حقيقة هو ما كان من جهد ابن آدم كالرسم بقلم مثلا أو ريشة أو تطريز خياطة, إذا كان لشيء مما فيه الروح من إنسان أو حيوان أو طائر غير ذلك, هذا هو الذي محرم بنص الحديث. وما مجرد التصوير اللي في الآلة, لا شك أن الأولى أن يصان المسجد من ذلك التصوير. لكن لما صار الناس كل يحمل جهازه معه, صار من الصعوبة على الجهات المسؤولة أن تمنع, إلا لو حاضرت على الناس أن يدخلوا بأي شيء يصلح لأن يلتقط صور, وليتهم أن يفعلوا. وأما سائر الناس لا يتدخلون في مثل هذا الأمر لما يخشى أن يترتب عليه من فوضى.
The question is, what is the ruling of Afwan? How should we behave in the Haram in Mecca if we see people taking pictures and the likes? And the Sheikh Hafizullah Ta'ala responded, he said, this is the responsibility or the duty of the specific committees or the specific individuals in the Haram who are responsible for security and the likes. This is their responsibility. The Shaykh mentioned, he expounded on that, but that which is forbidden, or that which is the most correct opinion with regards to that which is forbidden, is that which is done by the individual. For example, drawing, or you know, carving, or the sewing. If you draw, or if you carve, or if you sew, that which has a soul, such as an individual or an animal or the birds and the likes, this is that which is forbidden, taken from the text itself. He said, but that which is better, especially in the masajid, especially in the masjid, is that the people do not take photos. So the people do not take photos. He said, but what's become, you know, apparent and widespread is that everyone is carrying a camera in their phones and the like. So it's become very difficult. It's become very difficult and possibly impossible for them to stop everyone from taking photos. And he mentioned, except that they stop everyone from bringing their phones and the likes. And he said, and we wish that they did do that. We wish that they did stop the people from bringing it, but it's become very difficult and almost impossible. يقول السائل, ما حكم التشبه بالكفار بالنية أو بغير نية؟
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر أن من تشبه بقوم حشر معه, فلا يحل للمسلم أن يتقصد التشبه بالكافر. أما إذا كان التشبه حصل من دون إرادة ولا قصد وإنما مصادة فلا شيء في ذلك.
The question is, what is the ruling on a Muslim who imitates the kuffar intentionally or unintentionally? The Shaykh mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a narration, whoever imitates a people, he will be resurrected with those people. He will be resurrected with those people. So it is not permissible for a Muslim to imitate the kuffar intentionally. But if an individual happens to fall into imitation, but he does it without any intention of imitating them, then there's no sin upon that individual. يقول السائل حفظه الله تعالى هل يجوز لي تأجير هل يجوز لي أن أسكن في بيت كان يسكن فيه بعض الكفار ولعلهم كانوا يعبدون أثناء أو أصنامهم أو آلهتهم في هذا البيت؟
لا، هذا لا حرج فيه. المسلمون لما فتحوا البلدان استولوا على ما استولوا عليها، غنائم منازل الكفار، لا حرج أن يعبدوا ربهم في ذلك الموقع عبادتهم العامة. وعمر رضي الله عنه لما صلى في الكنيسة لما فتح بيت فلسطين، لكن الذي لا يجوز أن يندر شيئا معينا في البقعة لأنها كانت كذا وكذا.
The question is, can I live as a Muslim, can I live in a place where non-Muslims previously lived and it's possible that they worshipped their gods and the likes in that particular place? The Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, there's no problem in you doing so. There's no sin in you doing so. The Muslims, when they conquered different lands, they took the homes of the non-Muslims, the homes of the disbelievers, and they prayed in them, even though the non-Muslims used to pray in those particular homes. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they conquered Palestine, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he prayed in a church. Of course, it was no longer a church once the Muslims had conquered it. But that which is not permissible is that a person makes a vow to sacrifice in a particular place where this place used to be the place of idols used to be worshipped, or sacrifices to other than Allah used to take place. يقول إذا كان الشخص لم يكن يعرف أن الذبح أو لم يكن يعرف أن البقعة وذبح فيها لغير الله فهل يعثم؟
إذا ذبح في موقع ذبحا يريد به وجه الله، صدقة، ذبيحة أو ذبائح، وما علم أن هذه البقعة كانت محل عبادة للكفار فلا إثم عليه. الممنوع أن ينذر أن يؤدي ذلك العمل في ذلك الموقع يتقصده، وأما أن يصادف مصادفة فلا شيء في ذلك.
The individual is asking, if somebody doesn't know about the sacrifice in it, مثلا they sacrifice in a particular place and they don't know that this place used to be the area of sacrifice or of worship to other than Allah, do they gain a sin or do they fall into sin? And the Shaykh mentioned, if a person slaughters in a particular place and they did not know that this place was inhabited by those who used to worship other than Allah, or sacrifice to other than Allah, then there's no sin. They didn't know. But that which is forbidden is that a person makes a vow to perform a particular action of worship in a particular place that was inhabited, or they make a vow to perform a particular form of worship in that particular place. But if it happens without the person's knowledge, then there is no sin upon the individual. يقول السائل يذكر السائل أن والدته مشركة وتعلق وفي بيتها معلقة بعض الصور لآلهتها، فهل يجوز له الصلاة في هذه في هذا البيت أو عليه الصلاة في غرف مستقلة؟
لا يجوز له أن يصلي في المكان الذي تعلق فيه الصور الأوثان أو المعبودين من غير الله جل وعلا. إذا كان يسكن معها فليصلي في الشيء الذي ليس به، وأما إذا كانت هي تسكن معها فلا يمكنها من تعليق الصور معبوديها.
The question is, my mother is a mushrika and she has pictures of idols in her house. Can I pray in the rooms which do not have these pictures? The Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, it is not permissible for a person to pray in an area that there are pictures of idols, idols which are worshipped other than Allah. It is not permissible for that person to pray in this sort of area. If you live with your mother, then you should pray in an area in the house that does not have those pictures. But if your mother lives with you, you should not allow her to hang those sorts of pictures. يقول السائل هل الإنسان يعجر إذا طبق أي شيء فعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل أن يلبس ما لبسه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
الألبسة ليست في الحقيقة من العبادة، ومع ذلك كان عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما يحرص على النعال السبتية، لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان ينتعل النعال السبتية يعني من جلد، وإن كانت هذه من الأشياء الاعتيادية، لكن مع ذلك إذا فعل هذه الأشياء التي لا نهي فيها وأحب أن يشابه فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن شاء الله لا حرج عليه.
The question is asking, does a person get a reward for following anything that was performed by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the type of clothing he wears and the likes? And the Shaykh mentioned, Hafizullah Ta'ala, he said the specific clothing that was worn by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not necessarily ibadah. It is not considered from the actions of worship. Although you have it recorded that Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he used to try his best to wear the same sandals as the Prophet ﷺ, leather sandals. He used to try his best to wear leather sandals, which were similar to the sandals that the Prophet ﷺ wore. But the Shaykh said, but in general, the clothing is not considered from the worship. But if a person tries to do the actions of the Prophet ﷺ, which were not necessarily considered actions of worship, but they do so to imitate their love, and they do so to imitate the Prophet ﷺ, then there's no problem in them doing so. يقول السائل حفظك الله تعالى إذا خرج من إنسان دم يسير فهل عليه الوضوء؟
لا يلزم الوضوء، إنما إذا كان الدم دما كثيرا فأحسن يتوضأ، ومع ذلك الطهارة لا تبطل بالدم، إن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم كانت تكون بهم الجراحات، ربما صار عند الواحد منهم رعاف فبلل أطراف أصابع اليدين واستمر على طهارته، إلا أن الآن أحسن إذا حصل الدم أن يتهيأ لإعادة الوضوء لكنه غير ملزم.
The question is asking if an individual has a small amount of blood which comes out of their body, do they have to make wudu? And the Sheikh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala that it's not obligatory that a person makes wudu for a small amount of blood. But if the blood is abundant, is a lot of blood, then it's better that the person makes wudu. Blood does not break a person's ablution. Sheikh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala that blood does not break the person's ablution. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they used to have wounds. They used to have wounds, and some of them used to have deep wounds to the point where the blood used to reach their fingers. The blood is flowing to their fingers. And it did not break their wudu. But what is better is if the blood is abundant, it's better that a person prepares himself by making a new ablution, but it is not obligatory. يقول أو يسأل السائل عن التعبد في المساجد التي كانت كنائس.
لا حرج من تحويل الكنيسة إلى مسجد، لأنها أصلح مؤسسة للعبادة، لعبادة الله، ولكن عباداتهم ليست على أصول. فلما حولت الكنيسة إلى مسجد زال المانع، فإنها تحولت هي دار عبادة في الأول، عبادة غير صحيحة، فإذا حولت إلى دار عبادة صحيحة لا حرج في ذلك. ولذلك المسلمون لما فتحوا البلاد النصرانية حولوا بعض الكنائس لتكون مساجد.
The person is asking about the masajid, or praying in masajid that used to be churches. And the Sheikh said, there's no problem in that. These changing a church or turning a church into a masjid. The origin of the church was that it was there for the worship of Allah. But this worship was not correct. So what you're actually doing is that you're correcting the worship that takes place in this. So it was to other than Allah, or it was done incorrectly, and now it is being turned into that which is correct. And what's forbidden has been removed. What's forbidden in terms of this place being established for the worship of Allah, but then it was changed, it's being turned back to that which is correct. And because of that, we find that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when they conquered the lands of the Christians, they turned some of the churches into masajid. يسأل السائل يقول في بعض الأماكن في بريطانيا للذبيحة ويذهب إليها بعض المسلمين للذبيحة، ولكن يحضرها المسلمون وغير المسلمون، يحضرها اليهود والنصارى ويذبحون لآلهة، فهل يجوز للمسلم الذهاب إلى هذه الأماكن للذبيحة؟
إذا كانت هذه الأماكن أماكن ذبح وليست أماكن عبادة فلا حرج، لأن موقع الجزار أو المجزرة يجوز استعماله المسلم وغير المسلم. الممنوع أن يتقرب إلى الله في موقع يقصد التقرب فيه، مع أنه موقع للأوثان أو الأعياد أو أوقات فرحهم.
The person is asking about slaughterhouses in the UK where Muslims go to slaughter and sacrifice, and other than Muslims go to slaughter and sacrifice, such as Jews and the likes. And the Sheikh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, if these places are only places for slaughtering, then it's permissible. But if these places are slaughtering for worship, for sacrificing, like for example, the Jews and the Christians, they go there for sacrificing, then it is not permissible. He said, the place which is just for slaughtering, the place which is just for slaughtering, it can be visited by the Muslims and the non-Muslims. But if these places are visited by the Jews and the Christians for sacrificing the animals to their gods and the likes of that, then it is not permissible. يقول السائل في بعض المطارات في دول الغربية يوجد غرفة مستقلة في المطار للعبادة، ولكن يحضرها كما ذكرنا يحضرها المسلمون ويحضرها غير المسلمون، وهي كذا غرفة للعبادة، فهل يجوز للمسلم يصلي في هذه الغرفة؟
نعم يجوز، يعني لو لم يقال له أنه لا يجوز أين يصلي؟ فما دامت مجرورة لأداء العبادة فهي أحسن من الأماكن التي لا يقصد فيها ذلك الشيء، لا في من حيث الطهارة ولا من حيث التشويش، هل يجوز؟
The person is asking about these multi-faith prayer rooms in certain airports. The Muslims go there, and other than the Muslims go there, is it permissible for a person to pray in these rooms? The Sheikh said it's permissible for a person to pray in these rooms. Where would a person pray if they could not pray in these rooms? These rooms are specifically for worship, and they're clean, and they're free from tashwish, which is they're free from, you know, noise and the likes of that. So it's permissible for a person to pray in these particular rooms.
الحمد لله على النهاية، نسأل الله جل وعلا أن يتقبل منا ويجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسن. وأظن أيضا الأسبوع الجاي إن شاء الله يكون فيه درس.
لا يكون.
لا يكون.
يكون بإذن الله. The Sheikh Habib Allah Ta'ala closed by supplicating, and he asked Allah to accept it from us, and he asked Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from those who hear the guidance and follow that which is best. And he mentioned next week there will be a lesson, inshallah.